course. Thank you very much, Dev. And this meeting is now being recorded. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the ACLAS Technology Task Force call on the 14th of December 2015. On the call today, we have Gordon Chilcott, Olivier Crépin-Leblom, Harold Arcos, David Antaloxing, Alfredo Calderon, Satish Babu, Ariel Michel, Glenn McKnight, and Naveen Kshatriyan. We have received an apology from Stuart Clark, and from staff we have Chris Gift, Paul Hoffman, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Dev.
Thank you so very much, Natalie. My name is Ivan Antaloxing, Chair of the ACLAS Technology Task Force, and thank you all for attending this call. We just wanted to have one more meeting before the end of the year to really go through some of the technology issues that the ACLAS community has been having, and I'm glad that Chris Gift and Paul Hoffman are here on the call, so perhaps could share some insights as to how these issues can be resolved. So regarding the action items from the last call, there was very particular last action items from the last call. I should say that our action item report has to be a little bit cleaned up, and myself and Glenn will probably undertake to really clean up all those older recommendations. They have been implemented to some extent, but it probably just needs some tidying up, documenting as how it's been addressed. Glenn, I see your hand raised. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. It's Glenn for the record. For the benefit of the new members on the call today, and I welcome everyone on the call, and this is great to get such a turnout. Dev, would you indulge us just a little bit of background on what CTF is and what our achievements have been, just for the benefits of the newcomers?
Okay, thank you very much, Glenn. This is Dave. So just to try to briefly summarize, the Technology Task Force evaluates and reviews information and communication technologies that can help the at-large community, not just the ELSs, the RELOs, the ELAC, better able to accomplish their role in ICANN activities. So it's open to anyone that's interested in ICT and how ICT can be applied to solve the needs of ICANN at large and other ICANN communities. We've been looking at a variety of things, and I don't know if I could summarize it, but for one, the things I've been looking at are things such as the lateral meaningless issues, the Atlas II recommendations from the declaration last year that specifically that had some technology focus in their recommendations and hence were assigned to their technology task force. We've also been looking at some of the outcomes, such as captioning for at-large meetings. They're looking at e-books for making it easier to disseminate information about at-large to a wider internet community. So that's a brief summary, and perhaps I've probably missed a few things that I have not included. We have also been looking at things such as conferencing solutions, I should also mention, evaluating those technologies, making comments on, say, the mobile application that ICANN has introduced for the Dublin meeting and the alpha version for the Buenos Aires meeting, and giving feedback. So that's a summary of what the technology task force does. Okay. Okay, So let's now look at the review of the at-large technology issues and the persons to be able to let me just post the link in the chat. Yeah. And the reason why this page has come up was because, we wanted a more market way of coming up with the technology issues and then having this call with ICANN staff to now see perhaps how can these issues be resolved. And I see now that Anathi has put the technology issues on the screen here. Thanks. So let me just perhaps go to each point first and then ask for some input or comments from ICANN staff and all members of the TTS. So one of the first ones was that persons with Yahoo email addresses posting at large meaningless. Often, many times, the emails were received as spam messages by other persons on that mailing list. Okay, so, the way Gmail has identified this is that when it asks this, it identifies these emails from yahoo.com addresses as why it is in spam. It says it is from an address in yahoo.com, but that has failed Yahoo.com's required test for authentication. The workaround for this is for the mailing list to be able to support something called DMARC. And I believe this was started sometime in October. So perhaps Chris or Paul, any updates as to what has been completely done? And therefore, this issue is now completely resolved.
Deb, this is Chris Gift. I don't know if Paul can respond, but I unfortunately cannot. That is out of my area, so I don't know the status of that. However, I can find out what the status is over the next few hours, and then get back. Back to the TTF.
I am actually only here mostly watching. It is, as a staff member, I'm not actually active on any of the topics here, but the CTO's office very much wanted to know what's going on. So none of these action items have I any input on at all. I do know about DMARC. I don't know about DMARC within ICANN, however.
Okay. All right. Thanks. There is a link that David Crawford from Director of IT Operations has posted as to implement the DMARC patch.
Dev, this is Natalie. We can barely hear you. Could you speak up, or maybe we could dial out to your audio prefer? I'm sorry, Dev. We can really. You're almost inaudible. Would you mind trying to dial back in, please?
Okay, this is Devanand. Are you hearing me now?
Yep.
Much better.
Okay. Well, I'm coming in now through the Adobe Connect audio. So, strangely enough, the telephone didn't work. Okay. So, all right. So, let me start back again. This is Devanand again. Apologies for that technical glitch. So, let's set aside then. The first one regarding the mailing list ability to support the DMARC patches. And let's move on to the next one. And this is something to do with one of the technology challenges, is that for Adobe Connect, many conference calls have interpretation, okay, which are on different Adigo channels. And one of the challenges that we face is the ability to be able to select, especially for persons coming in the Adobe Connect room, to be able to select an audio channel. So we've been told informally that this is not possible, but I do want to get some perhaps ICANN staff to should research this, because I see, you know, YouTube videos from the admin for the Adobe Connect admin side of things, and it seems that it looks like it is possible, because to be able to create a different bridge to the different Adobe channels and therefore be able to select them in the drop-down for the for when you're in Adobe Connect. Paul, you know, feel free to jump in on this, on these points. And of course, anybody else, if they have any comments on this.
This is Chris. I think Natalie is trying to get hold of Jeff Reed. He's your best person to answer most of these questions on infrastructure issues, whether it's, you know, the mailing list or Adobe Connect or any of those, because he's responsible for that entire area with MAT. So hopefully, if he can join, he can answer these questions. If he cannot join, then I'll be sure to follow up with him, and I will provide answers to both you and Natalie about the status of both the DMARC and as well as this.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. This is Dave again. So just to run through the technology issues, the remote participation in ICANN face-to-face meetings, having now been participating remotely for this past year, I have noted really several challenges for remote participation at ICANN face-to-face meetings. I've broken it down to the three things. One, because the Adobe Connect room only offers one audio channel, and typically it's the raw audio, meaning that there's no interpretation. Interpretation is not heard. And secondly, for persons wanting to speak, they have to really dial a Digo, but could only still hear the raw audio. So again, the remote participants cannot hear the interpretation. Now, there are different audio streams for the different languages in the room, but I have noticed that for the ALAC meetings that had interpretation, there was a delay in the language audio stream by up to like 30 seconds. So what happens is that the audio is coming in 30 seconds after somebody has spoken. So, and if you're trying to contribute, you can't end up with hearing two different audios, especially when somebody is speaking that requires interpretation. So it just makes for a very confusing experience, and you really have to be extremely motivated to actually participate in this. And I think actually this is a key issue, because, you know, we want persons to be able to participate in ICANN activities. The ICANN face-to-face meetings are perhaps one of the key milestones of ICANN activities, and if it's very frustrating for persons to listen and to learn, then it's going to be very hard to get them to be engaged. So that was my comment on that remote participation issues. Also, the ability to export Adobe Connect recordings. The Adobe Connect recordings are encoded using Flash, meaning that it could only be played on desktops, requires Adobe Flash to be installed on a person's computer. And what we're looking for is a way to the ability for staff to be able to export these recordings from Flash to formats like MP4, which can be put on video sharing websites like YouTube, and that makes the content of webinars much more accessible to the at-large community. And finally, one of the other things is the Lacrolo. Go ahead, Chris.
Sure.
No, sorry. I'm just going to, this is Chris Gift. I'm going to just jump in on that one. I didn't realize, I apologize, but I did not realize that all the recordings were Flash. And I agree that that is definitely an issue, and we should be correcting that. Let me just again touch base with Jeff and the others, but I'll have my team look at that as well, because we should definitely have that in a format that is readily used by mobile devices.
Thanks, Chris. This is Dave. And indeed, yes, because it's actually impossible for to actually, because well, most mobile devices don't support Flash anymore, since Flash is discontinued on mobile devices, it's all of that content. So all for those, because we do a lot of, well, we use Adobe Connect, obviously, for a lot of the capacity building webinars, you know, the INS policy updates and so forth, and all of that content is not accessible on mobile devices. And it's cumbersome, actually, even to use it to play the Flash recordings. It's almost like you have to download the entire file first. It doesn't exactly stream like when you're watching a YouTube video or other video sharing website. So, again, it's really a big problem on that end. Olivier, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Thanks very much, Dave. Olivier Capone-Blanc speaking. You mentioned the Adobe Connect room being recorded as Flash, but from what I've seen, there is also an MP3 recording of the session. That's just the sound recording of the session. So at the end of the day, if one was to want to listen to the what happened and so on, I guess they could. But your point is well taken regarding the Adobe Connect recording.
Thanks, Olivia. This is Dave. And true, yes, there are MP3 audio recordings, so persons can listen to the audio. But often, sometimes, especially when persons are sharing screens to show, like, for example, the at-large website, as an example of a recent capacity building webinar. Since a lot of that information was shared on a person's screen and we were looking at the website and looking at this element here, that element here, audio recording isn't as useful.
Jeffrey's joined.
Hi, Jeff. This is Dave Anand here. Okay, I don't know. Let's see. So what we've been covering is looking at, I don't know if you're in the Adobe Connect room, but we've been looking, cataloging some of the technology issues faced by the at-large community. And I think, Jeff, maybe you may have some answers to some of these technology issues. So just to go back to the first one, the problems for persons with Yahoo.com email addresses posting to the at-large mailing list. Often those emails are received by the spam messages by other persons on the mailing list. And I think what it was identified that the reason why this is happening is because the mailman, a component that runs the mailing list, doesn't support DMARC. So has DMARC been installed on the at-large mailing list and therefore this issue is now resolved?
Sorry, I was on mute. Mailman doesn't support what? I'm sorry. Would you repeat that, please?
DMARC, D-M-A-R-C.
Okay. And yeah. Your question really is, has that been resolved?
Yes, because persons from the at-large community that use Yahoo.com, every time they post something to the mailing list, everybody else receives those messages as spam messages, especially Gmail. I don't know about other email hosting clients, but Gmail especially, any person that posts anything from a Yahoo.com email address ends up in the spam folder. So what happens, of course, is that their inputs are being missed.
Okay.
So.
I don't have an answer to that off the top of my head, but I will absolutely follow it up.
Okay. All right, thanks. The second point was regarding Adobe Connect. Is there a way to be able to select different audio channels when persons are in the Adobe Connect room? Because the community sometimes use interpretation on these calls, they would like to be able to select the audio channel from the Adigo bridge, be it English, Spanish, French, and so forth. Is there a way that that the Adobe Connect can be configured to offer different audio channels to the person in the Adobe Connect room?
Okay, I don't have that answer either, but I will follow that up as well.
All right, thanks. Okay, this is Dave. Just to go over the remote participation challenges, the same issue regarding Adobe Connect rooms, you know, because only one audio channel is offered, it's often the raw audio, meaning that there's no interpretation. So when somebody speaks, that requires interpreters that requires interpretation, you don't hear that. Secondly, if you wanted to contribute and make a comment from remotely, you can't do it. You have to dial Adigo, and yet you're only still hearing the raw audio. So the remote participants cannot hear interpretation. And while they have audio streams for the different languages, those are delayed by 30 to 40 seconds. And I've noticed that for the past two ICAT face-to-face meetings. Right?
Yeah, I'm taking notes.
Okay, great. There's a wiki page which all of this, these issues are raised. So, and finally, the ability to export the Adobe Connect recordings, which is in a kind of flash-enabled video format, to more friendlier formats like MP4, so that those MP4s could then be uploaded to video sharing sites like YouTube and so forth. Because those flash-enabled flash-encoded recordings can already be played on desktops. They cannot be played on mobile devices because most mobile devices don't support flash anymore.
Okay, and I'm sorry, you said there was a wiki site that has these captured?
Yes, it has.
And
where
in the wiki? I
think Natalie. Okay, Natalie, we'll send that to you.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay, great. All right. Thanks, Jeff. And I just wanted to raise the attention of this to the staff so that we could probably see how these problems can be solved. The other issue was with the Lapralo mailing list issues. I know that Josh Jenkins has been working on it, but again, literally in his spare time. And he says that he's going to be trying to do some work on it before the end of the year. But I just wanted to capture it there because it's still an ongoing issue regarding the Lapralo mailing list.
And that is Josh Jenkins, not Josh Blausch.
That is correct.
So I will check with Josh. We've got Josh Jenkins pretty well tied up. He's pretty busy, but I will go check with him this morning.
Thank you. And this is Dave. And I do realize that Josh is a very, very busy person. So, yes. But it's important to capture that because it's an ongoing issue that's of a real grief to Lapralo.
I will follow up.
Okay. Thanks. So this is David Ann again. So I'm just going to throw it out to anybody. Does anybody have any comments, any observations, any other key technology issues that needs to be raised? The floor is open. Olivier, your hand is raised. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, David. Olivier Capanablon speaking. On the point that you were making, the first point that you made at the beginning of this long list regarding the Yahoo emailing problems, I recall that a number of people were actually thrown off the list. Anybody who was a subscriber through Yahoo account or through something that is through a domain name that they use under Yahoo, there had been some bounces or something, so they ended up being automatically logged off or signed off, if you want, from the mailing lists. So we got to be sure that once this thing is fixed and DMARC is implemented properly, and this is a well-known problem in the world of emails and of mailing lists. Once this is fixed, we have to make sure that these people are actually back on our mailing lists, because otherwise we have lost a significant number of people from our mailing list. And I'm talking here about 20 to 30 people. So got to make sure that that works. And I know that Ariel is monitoring this, but she has to be informed. I know it is that she is not on this call. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivia. This is Dave. Thanks for raising it on this call, because I was not aware of that. So that is indeed something that we do need to track as well. So I'll update the wiki page to note that point, so that we don't lose that. And I see Natalie says that it will also be related to Ariel. Excellent, Glenn.
Yeah, two things. You asked a question on other issues, technology issues, and the. So let me deal with the one observation first, and then my second thing after. The first thing is we are going through the process of giving feedback on the new website, and one of the things I observed when it went to learn about it, at large, it went to a PDF. And the interesting thing is this is fine if you're going to go ahead and print the PDF because it's a flattened PDF. But what's interesting is with Adobe Acrobat 10 and 11, you can insert hyperlinks, you can insert audio, you can insert video clips. And so what I did on the weekend, I worked with Adobe 11 and I inserted a great video produced by our associate Alfredo Calderon from the ISOC PR, one of the Norello members, and he did a great video in Sparkle, and it's a phenomenal tool. So if the PDFs are never printed and we want to make the PDFs a little bit more interesting, since it seems to be a primary tool, perhaps we should get communication to start to actually using the power of the PDF generator rather than just relying on a traditional conversion of Word documents into PDF. The second thing I wanted to bring up, since the issue is we notice our staff is quite busy, this is a budget cycle again, and they've been asking us to submit budget requests. So perhaps if we are empowered to do this, but perhaps if we have an idea what the extra costs will be entailed for staff time to fix this problem, perhaps we should push it forward. But we need to know the dollars and cents and what they would do. And the big question back to you, Dev, is do we have the authority to ask, or does it have to go through the RAIL or ALAC for this request? Back to you.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn. Okay, so let's take your points. So regarding what you said about the new at-large website, yes, I'm aware that the PDF, there is a, if, so just, I put the link to the new at-large website there. What Glenn is referring to, and you can correct if I'm wrong, is that when you go to learn about at-large, you get taken to the at-large trifold folder, trifold brochure, sorry. And which is so, and it's a static PDF and the links aren't clickable, as Glenn has pointed out. My thinking, and I think we probably do need to confirm with this with Ariel, is that this was only a temporary placeholder for learning about at large, and perhaps with the outreach and engagement subcommittee work, we can then look to ensure that the that content is, well, accessible over a web browser, and therefore accessible to, I would say, mobile users. And perhaps, Glenn, you could also then show that video that you did with Alfredo, the YouTube clip that was that you took, that you had done with Alfredo Calderon, about that, and get the impetus from the how it works for outreach and engagement. Yes, the second thing regarding the budgeting. So sorry about that. This is Dave. So do we have the authority? I would say yes, we would have the authority, because what we can do is ask the ALAC to make their budget request, because it's not just the four or five relos. It's the ALAC that could also put in budget requests. So at the ALAC level, if there's support for any budget idea that we have, the Technology Task Force have, the ALAC could support it and therefore make a budget request. So I hope that answers that question. I thought I saw Chris Gibbs' hand up, but all right. Glenn, your hand is still raised. Okay, I see your hand has now been taken down.
Okay.
Any other thoughts or comments on the technology?
To that?
Go ahead, Glenn.
Dev, I was responding to your question. Okay, so if that's the case, I really strongly suggest as an action item that we put a simple proposal of a budget request to solve this problem. It's an outstanding issue, and if we can get some idea on the cost factor, because my impression, and I may be wrong on this, staff is really only putting time in when they have some spare time, which means they'll never get done. And I'm not faulting anyone on this, but you know, if there's a budget allocation for it, I think it will get done. So I'm just strongly suggesting that as an action item today's call, that we have some idea, we have some time to get something done, but if we can get a proposal in that and that it's in the next FY17, I think we can get this fixed.
Okay, indeed. All right, and I see Chris is behind the hand. Go ahead, Chris.
This is Chris Gift. And Jeff, you may want to jump in, but I want to be clear to everybody that I doubt, if we're talking about DMARC and the mailing list, I doubt that putting in a budget request will help with that. And the reason I say that is that since it's an existing resource question, a budget request would simply allow us to temporarily hire new resources or a consultant to take care of that problem. And unless I'm mistaken, that's probably not a viable option for us. So the best bet, rather than have a budget request, is to negotiate priorities with Jeff or Josh's manager and make sure that the priorities of what Josh and others are working on is properly managed. That would be my two cents on how to approach it.
Josh does work in my organization, and I have him seriously busy right now, that's true. And the budget certainly never hurts to have a budget item, but that's probably not going to be the ticket, as Chris points out. We're going to have to find a cycle that he can take the time to address. So when we're off this call, I will go talk to him and his manager, and we'll sort out what needs to be done and how big it is or small it is.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Jeff. This is Dave. Okay,
thank you.
And thanks, Chris, for that input. As to perhaps doing a budget request may not be the best way, but we need to do, I guess the word was they said negotiate a priority of what issues are important. Okay, so I think that's something we have to take on board and figure out. My instinct will be to say that all of these things are important, but that's my immediate instinct. But perhaps I'll discuss this with the co-chairs and on the TTF list. Any other thoughts or comments? Any other technology issues that at large has been encountering? Because, again, this will be a... See? One? Twice? Oh, Glenn, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, Yeah, one of the things that keep coming up that we don't seem to have resolution on is a suggestion in Atlas II on a knowledge management system and tracking system. I just don't see any progress on that. And, you know, are we just putting it to bed and saying we can't do it, or it's just something that was brought up with Atlas II over a year ago, I guess close to a year and a half now, but I haven't seen any movement on that. So back to you, Dan.
Okay. Thanks. Indeed, I was going to bring that up in the Atlas II section later on the agenda, but it's a good point. But let me take the other comments, and I'll see hands raised there. So, Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks, Dave. Olivier Capanoblanc speaking. I'm looking forward to hear the updates in the Atlas II part of this call, because I'm particularly interested in this. Just to mention here, that page which we have, you know, the issues that we have, the first one is really one where ICANN's mailing list system is not up to mark with a significant number of people out there. I know that there is a polemic going on out there in the outer world regarding the validity of Yahoo having implemented this strict checking of DMARC. But outside all of this, it does affect a serious number of our users, and I suspect that it has affected also a large number of people across all of ICANN, only that in other parts of the community, it might well be that their problems have gone through unnoticed. Here, it does go through noticed because we do have so many people in that use this Yahoo system. With regards to the others, I think they are problems, but they probably are more specific to ourselves since they have to do with the different audio channels of Adobe, et cetera. And finally, with regards to the flash-only recordings, there are some software out there which you can use to convert a flash to an MP4. There is even some free software out there to do that. Perhaps could it be one of the tasks of this task force to identify the right software that could be used by staff to transform a flash video to an MP4. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Olivier. Okay, so we'll bring up the, perhaps Chris can answer that. I saw something that Chris wants me to answer that status of that project. To answer the other questions regarding, again, good observations regarding Mailman, regarding the Adobe Connect recordings, there is a way to do it now with the latest versions of Adobe Connect. It's kind of cumbersome in the sense that you have to basically play it back in real time in order to convert it to MP4. So if you had an hour and a half recording, somebody has got to basically play it back, and as it plays back, it can receive it as an MP4. But maybe there are other approaches. So, and that's perhaps something staff could probably help look at to see if maybe there's an alternative approach. So, Chris, your hand is raised.
Yes, thank you, Dan. This is Chris Gift. I wanted to address the question that Glenn had raised about knowledge management system. So there are two updates in that I think people will be pleased about. So the first is when we look at knowledge management, correct me if I'm wrong, but we interpret that as a document management system, or at least that's how we're looking at to fulfill that requirement, because we think that that is something that is required within ICANN staff, within the organization, as well as can be useful to everyone else in the organization, in the community, to appropriately refine content. I know it's not a knowledge management system. I see that Olivier Capanoblanc has put a comment in. They are different, but whenever somebody talks about a knowledge management system or when we put it in the context of community meetings, that is always how we've been interpreting. So if it truly is something vastly different, then we should talk further about it. But in the meantime, let me continue to update you on the document management system, and then we can see how to go forward from there. First is we have hired a librarian or an information specialist, and that person has actually started today. And that person will be somebody who will be going through the documents at ICANN, the content in ICANN, and ensuring that there's appropriate metadata and that there is a reasonable taxonomy, since we do have questions a lot about taxonomy. Somebody who's going to standardize our publication processes within the organization and work on things, for instance, like appropriate titling, so that we share titling standards, document standards, versioning standards, et cetera, so that when people approach our documents, they make sense at an intuitive level and they can understand the status of that document as well. So that librarian has started now and will be working on all those, and that person will be publishing those things and obviously working with the community on what appropriate standards ought to be. As part of that effort, we are also working on a document management system. We're very early stages of that. We are going to start vendor selection process, requirements gathering and vendor selection process in early January of next calendar year, so in just a few weeks. And our hope is to stand that system up over the next 12 months so that we have all of our existing and new documents on a document system rather than what they happen to be now, which is either managed by the website or by people's websites or managed by the wiki and so on. That's not an appropriate means to manage documents. They should be referenced by wikis and websites for not all documents, but for instance, policy documents and things like that. Allows appropriate versioning and control and so on. You'll hear a lot more about this, and we can even have a separate meeting at some point to talk about more in greater detail in the beginning.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. This is Dave. I think we'll look forward to hearing more details about this. I would say that yes, it's document. I mean, I would say knowledge management is more than document management. I'm not saying document management isn't important, but I think our challenge within at large is that a lot of information sharing. What happens is that somebody says the input being made on a particular issue in one forum and one particular conference call, and then there's a discussion taking place on a mailing list somewhere, and then there is a discussion taking place on a wiki page. So the problem is, unless a person is plugged into all of these locations, it's hard to really keep track of what people are speaking about on a particular issue. So I think if I could summarize the challenge with knowledge management, I think that's the key issue. The conversations are just happening everywhere, and it's no easy way, and it's a very easy for conversations to be ignored. And of course, that brings up resentment that, hey, I made these inputs at this location. You know, why was I taken into account, etc. So I think that's one key issue. So I see Chris has a hand raised, or is that an old hand?
Old hand.
Old hand. Okay, Olivier.
Thanks very much, Dave. Olivier speaking. And I think the problem that our at-large structures are faced with is that they receive floods of emails through the ALAC announce mailing list, but they also receive floods of email through the different other mailing lists that we have set up for each one of the working groups. The problem with that is that they tend to do select all, delete, because they just can't cope with it. It's just too much. And the end game for the policy management process system or something, I think it was called. The end game is that we would be able to, each one of our ALSs could have their account and select what interests they have, and through that they would receive the proper announcements. So there'd be some kind of filtering that would then send them the proper announcements that are just pertinent to their interests. Now, the new at-large website, as it has been presented to us, has a very elaborate policy section with the ability to filter anything that goes through. That really helps very much with those people who are involved with policy. But it's a pull system. In other words, you have to regularly go on that website and pull the information in and filter it and so on. And I guess that would be targeted towards those people that are already interested and already involved in policy development. On the other hand, it doesn't quite address the problem that we have with this overflow of emails. And that's where that much larger system is to be designed and then presented. And I know that Dave has worked with Ashwin on this and has, I thought that Dave, you had put a list of requirements and of needs, and from there perhaps this working group, and I'm sorry I haven't had any time to devote to this, but I'd like to put something where we actually have the actual bare requirements that are needed for this to be costed first, because I'm sure it's not a cheap system, it's a costly thing, and then eventually put into a year's budget as a request. I might also add that this type of a system would also very much help people in other parts of ICANN, specifically in the GNSO, because I'm also aware that they also receive plenty of emails, and not everyone is able to read through all of those emails. Certainly, the council is aware of what's going on. I'm not sure if all of the different component parts of the NCSG, for example, or the CSG are aware of everything that is taking place and do take part in the processes as much as they should for a truly balanced multi-stakeholder system. Okay, I've done my sales spiel. Thank you.
thanks, Olivier. Chris, I see your hand raised, so go ahead.
Yes, thank you. This is Chris Gift. So there are a few things that are going on that will help with this. But let me start at the beginning. Yes, a policy management system is certainly our desired end goal as well. I mean, I think everybody recognizes that would be a very good thing. So if you have had pushed requirements or sent requirements over to Ash, that's great. If you haven't, then we can certainly look to do that. So one of the elements, though, that we are building in the meantime, because I do think a policy management system is going to be an incremental thing. I'm not doing it as a big bang is going to be difficult, especially how we have so many requirements, different use cases across the community. I mean, we approach policy and advice to policy in different ways depending on who the group is. And so having a unified system is going to be a challenge, but nonetheless is one that we'd all like to work with. But in the meantime, we are doing a few things. We do recognize that push is the best means of people obtaining data. A pull strategy is not a good one for people, for busy people that are volunteering. So we want to do more of that. We tried an attempt, with MyICANN a few years back, and while that had some successes, we didn't really move work on those successes and take them to the next level. And since then, MyICANN is atrophied and is really is no longer really that useful. But some of the ideas were good. So what we are doing is we are working on corralling some of the push notifications and corralling some of the newsletters and newsletter capabilities under a new system that's called Marketo. And that is a platform that is basically meant for doing that, for managing push notifications and newsletters. And we'd like to see that implementing that sometime this year. I don't have a schedule yet for that. It was supposed to be in Q1 of this next quarter. It may get pushed out a bit. But that system would be embedded within ICANN.org, and people would have a fairly robust means of coming to select information that they wanted to subscribe to and be able to form their own personal newsletters and things like that, and we would extend those capabilities to obviously all the SOs and ACs so that they could do their own thing as well. I just know that project's been pushed out and it does not have a new date yet.
Mm.
Thanks, Chris. This is Dave. Well, and just to say that, ultimately, I think that approach where being able to selectively decide what they want information pushed to be sent to them or subscribed to, it probably is the way to go to necessarily overcome the information overload as Olivier identified, just happens, especially if you're on various mailing lists and so forth. So, sorry, Chris, you have another hand raised? Go ahead.
Yes, it was. Sorry, this is Chris just again. You know, lower it and raise it again. I know that we're where we are in the call. I just did want to bring up one thing, and again, we should probably talk about this in the new year. I did want to provide one update to this group, and that is next year is, from a technology perspective, is going to be very, very challenging. So I think maybe, you know, we should invite Ash to the call as well. We have a number of very significant projects that have launched or will soon be launched within ICANN. A lot of them are foundational in terms of redoing internal infrastructure. And I want to bring that out because I think it behooves us to, you know, let the community know, especially this group know, that resources are going to be very, very tight next year for technology changing and technology solutions. You know, just as we talked about earlier, you know, prioritization of those resources and so on is going to be an ongoing challenge and discussion. And I think you should probably at some point invite Ash to come and probably the two of us, Ash and myself, can talk further about this so that you guys have a clearer understanding of what we see happening in the next 12 months.
Thanks, Chris. This is Dave. Assuming that you'll be ready sometime in January, we can have a call any particular time. I have a special purpose call to have that discussion. I think it would be very welcomed by the Technology Task Force. Great. Okay. Like I said, I mentioned that the technology issues is a wiki page. So if anybody has any ideas, coming off of this call, you know, feel free to add to it, and then we could start the discussion, and then again continue to raise it with ICANN and at large staff as to how these problems issues can be addressed. Okay, so well, I'm going to ask Arthur. We're probably going to just go over by about 10 minutes more on this call. So I apologize for that, but let's quickly move to the next item on the agenda, and that was possible budget items for FY17. Now, we've already mentioned that that perhaps funding for technology projects may not be the best way to handle such requests, but rather to have a negotiated discussion with ICANN on prioritizing what technology initiatives need to be looked at. But there was probably two possible budget items that we identified, and that was noted on an outreach and an engagement document, budget items document. So that was two things. One was the group calendars that the outreach and engagement subcommittee is using. There is a paid version. Right now we're using the free version, but the paid version offers some slightly more features, and it's relatively inexpensive, like $8 US a month. And the second one was looking at group chat systems, one of the more popular ones being Slack, which allows group conversations and instant messaging to be put into channels or rooms. So you can segment the conversation according to particular topics, for example. And we were looking at whether we should have a pilot project using such a group chat system for us to test out, because potentially the instant messaging can perhaps alleviate, reduce the email overload. So that's probably two key technology ideas that we have. Anyone has any Anyone has any other particular budget ideas that they want to have in mind? It's already just to have just a preliminary discussion, because the kickoff for the budget for the FY17 cycle should be starting mid-December. I see two hands raised. Chris?
Sorry about that, old hand.
Oh, okay, sorry. Well, sorry. Jeff?
Okay. Yeah, but I just had a quick question. Sorry. Yes, sir. I just had a quick question. This is Jeff Reed. What is the calendar product that you're talking about? I understand Slack, but what is the calendar product you're talking about?
Okay. So the at-large, thanks, Jeff. This is Dave. So we use our group calendars that are based on team up. I'll put the link there in the chat at teamup.com. And what we have done is that the outreach and engagement is using this to track outreach events that can be used by the at-large community to attend. And there are other programs that are in ICANN that allows for travel to such outreach events. Hence the need to track it. What I also would like to have is to also have the GSC being able to share that information on their outreach events. And perhaps, you know, this could be expanded to other groups. The NOMCOM also has a need to track outreach events. And there's a need for outreach calendar here. Possibly the civil society engagement document approach that the GSC is finalizing. There will probably be a need to track civil society outreach events. So we are using those calendars right now, and it's just really to upgrade the calendar to I would say the plus version, so you can have things such as a more longer history of the calendar. Have like a daily agenda. You can also password protect certain sections of the calendar, so that certain groups can only a certain persons with the password can update the calendar.
No, I appreciate that. That's good information for me, and I'll work through Chris and Mark Siegel. And thank you.
Sure. Okay. All right. Thanks, Jeff. This is Dave. Let's see. So those were the two key ideas. I'm not seeing anybody raising their hands on the possible budget items, but perhaps maybe we could just spend some time now looking at the update on the various technology task force items. So Atlas II recommendations, and I guess we have done quite a lot of extensive work on the Atlas II recommendations. Here's the link to the recommendations and all the work that has been done in documenting how we have approached this and coming up with recommendations and so forth. And in fact, even between Dublin and now, we continue to update work on these recommendations. We had a meeting with David Goulet on the TOR project, so for the discussion of what is TOR and how it could be used. We have also been updating the workspace to document more of the translation tools that is available to the at-large community. The Skype translator, which is now integrated with the regular Skype desktop client, and so forth. I guess my question that comes now to Olivier is, so what would be the best approach for these Atlas II recommendations? Is it that we are going to present this to the at-large community, or and I hope you all, are you all hearing me properly?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm hearing you, Dave, but I'm waiting for the end of your question. It's Olivia speaking.
Okay. Thank you. So we've documented what all the research we have done for the various Atlas II recommendations. My question to you is now, okay, what is our next step how do we wrap up the Atlas II recommendations? Because we have some, like, well, we've documented a lot of stuff on our wiki. Maybe we probably won't do it on this call, but maybe we can have one more call and say, okay, we have done all the work that is possible on this Atlas II recommendation. Okay, what next? Do we then present it to the at-large community? Do we have a capacity building session to then present these recommendations? So how is it going to be handled? And if so, if there's a particular time frame you want to be doing this?
Yes,
so that's my question
to
you, Olivier.
Yeah, thanks for this question, Dave. Olivier Capin-Leblanc speaking. So the recommendations themselves have a recipient, and not all recommendations have the same recipient. If we look at the post-Atlas II implementation task force, technology task force pages, looking at the first recommendation, say number 10, the next evolution of language services must adopt further extension of live scribing for all meetings and generally extend the current interpretation and translation processes and make translation available in a timely manner. The recipient for this recommendation is ICANN staff, Language Services Department. And so once the working group decides that this recommendation is complete and is also, understandable by the recipient, maybe a single paper or what's on that page should be captured and then be sent over to the Language Services Department, who would be expected to both acknowledge the recommendation but also perhaps come back to us with proposals based on the recommendation. That would then make the status as being complete. The next one, you can see recommendation 11 is shown as being completed, but a response is required, pending response from ICANN staff. ICANN must implement a range of services to facilitate access according to various criteria and user needs. So I gather that this one has been sent to, and here response is required. It says here ICANN board, ICANN staff. We'll have to check who we have sent this to. I note that here actions on the 19th of October say at-large staff to ask Chris Gift's team regarding implementation of this recommendation. I guess the moment we get a reply, in any case, this recommendation is completed. And so on for all of them. I'm not going to go through the whole list. Some, of course, are, you know, the one that's in progress. ICANN needs to be sensitive to the fact that social media are blocked in certain countries and in conjunction with technical bodies promote credible alternatives. So obviously here we would need to have a response from the ICANN GIC staff and ICANN CIIO, which is what's listed as the recipient, as basically saying that they are committing to other social media systems. I'm not sure what. But you see, all of these are aimed at someone. Now, number 19, eliminate barriers to participation and engagement in ICANN processes and practices. The recipient is unknown. Here, I guess this is something which would solely be for at-large. And in any case, all of these recommendations, we have to come back to the at-large community with an answer and letting them know what happened after they made that recommendation, how was it acted upon. And that's how I guess we can then mark those as being done and completed. Does that help?
Okay, so this is Dave. I think, yes, it does. So, okay, so then really what we need to do is then make a summary document for each of the recommendations. For both presentation to the at-large community to make sure that everybody agrees with how the approach and recommendations that the group working groups have made, and then go ahead.
Yes, yeah, Olivia speaking. You're quite right. There needs to be a document sent back to the at-large community on all of them anyway, but when there's a specific recipient for recommendation, these are the people we have to follow up with.
when a recommendation is marked as a recommendation for the ICANN board, these are the ones that we present to the ICANN board and that we request board feedback on, if there are any that will require the ICANN board intervention on this. But that's the follow-up. And there are some, as you mentioned here, which are complete in any case, and we've had an answer, we've had a follow-up on it, and we can just report this back to our community. The question is whether do we report back to our community in small batches or do we come back to our community with a whole large number of things? And I think that ultimately if we report in small batches, it's probably going to be a little bit more difficult. So we might start building a master document of responses on each one of these recommendations, and that's what will be then sent to our community once they've been affected. I hope that helps.
Okay. Okay, well, this is Dave. I guess that's a challenge for I guess the Atlas II implementation group will have to decide.
It's the overall task force work to follow up and to put it back together into one piece. But obviously, taking each bit, we're looking towards having each one of those sections as complete as possible so that we can just do a cut and paste and a few words in between.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Well, I know what part of the two things that came out of, not necessarily came out of the Atlas II recommendations, it was to look at captioning on e-books, and that Nuralo and the co-chairs actually put forward budget requests to implement those projects. Perhaps you can just get a brief update from Glenn and I see Judith on the call too. So perhaps even Judith can also answer the part about the captioning. Glenn or Judith? Judith? Oh, I see. He's not. Okay. Glenn had apparently temporarily disconnected. Glenn, do you want to just quickly just update on the e-books? I see you posted some links in the chat there. Do you want to expand on it more?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I see Judith is typing, so perhaps she... Okay, and Judith doesn't have audio connected. So, all right, so while she'll provide an update by the text chat there in the chat pod. Sorry, Jeff, I didn't realize your hand was raised. My apologies. Was this a... Do you have a question, or...? Oh, it's an
no, excuse me. I didn't mean to do that.
No problem. Okay, so I know we're trying to wrap up this call here. So regarding the conferencing tools, and perhaps I can probably ask, I know that there were some concerns raised at the Dublin meeting by ICANN that they were looking at possible alternatives to Adobe Connect. So with that in mind, we have restarted the conferencing tools presentation, and I'll share that link on the chat because I do need some help in completing that because I don't think it will take much longer for me to do it alone, because I really do need some help in terms of filling in the gaps for each of the conferencing solutions we've covered over the past year. Okay. And I think we may have to then, just looking at the chat here. Yes, so we have an additional call that we can review. This is from Judith. Okay, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to have the open discussion of ideas for 2016, but of course, and just open the floor to anybody who has any other business to raise in terms of anything that the technology task force should be doing, should not be doing, you know. And I mean, I really would like to hear inputs from, you know, from the persons on the call, like Alfredo, Baran, Gordon, Harold, Judith, well, Narine, Satish. Any particular comments? You've been quiet and very attentive, but do you all have any issues, comments, or ideas you have in mind that you want to share with the group? Okay, I'm seeing many people typing. Okay. Nothing from Satish. Okay. And I know, Alfredo, you are indeed working with Glenn on a few things that might have great impact on the outreach and engagement. All right. So since we are going beyond, it's taken more than 10 minutes past the hour, I think we could probably end the call. I'd like to thank everyone for attending this call. Thanks to Chris Gift, Jeff Reed, Paul Hoffman from ICANN staff for attending the call. And it was a very informative discussion on some of the technology issues facing the at-large community. I would like to wish everyone season greetings, Merry Christmas, and best wishes for the new year, as this will be the last call for this year. But obviously, keep interacting on the mailing list, and I'll see you, and take care. This call is now adjourned.
Thank you.